720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Our string of beautiful days continues, and it is another great one here. Joey Gelman in the booth, Bob Kessler up on the seventh floor with his hand on the pulse of all of the traffic and the news and everything going on as far as all the information that you know and expect and need from WGN. But it's great to be back here in studio. Been on the road, literally. And so we say that on a regular basis, and we all get kind of a chuckle when, if we're driving from one point to another. But actually, been on the road back from Florida most of this week and got an opportunity to stop at a couple places that we are going to talk about. Got to stop Martin's Barbecue for one in Nashville, one of the best places in the world. If you're ever traveling through and you're a fan of brisket or pulled pork sandwiches or any of the things that people know and love about barbecue, you should definitely stop there. Pat Martin's got a couple locations in Nashville. They were up here for Windy City Smokeout as well, so I know a lot of people from Chicago got a chance to try their stuff. And if you get a chance to go down there and try it live and in person in the restaurants, it is great. Then we ended up going to Ruby Falls, Chattanooga, Tennessee. We wanted to kind of think, I thought to myself, what are some of the things? I had my 10-year-old son, Maxwell, with, so it was just a guy's road trip, and we kind of hung out and stopped a couple places to eat, and I wanted to kind of find some attractions that wouldn't weren't too far out of the way, but would be the kind of fun memory things that maybe I would have remembered or would have thought was interesting too. He's kind of a science related guy. He loves all the Discovery Channel, and certainly he's an alien conspiracy theorist, and loves animals. He loves his frogs, his toads, his reptiles, and all that kind of stuff. But so we got an opportunity to check out a cave. So Ruby Falls, Chattanooga, 312-981-7200. If anybody has been to some of the other caves, I think as a kid I had gotten an opportunity to check out Merrimack Caverns. I'm not sure if maybe Mammoth wasn't too far out of the way, but it is a very interesting experience. Ruby Falls, I don't think it is one of the bigger caves, but it was 1,000 feet down, an opportunity to see a waterfall underground, maybe 140 some odd foot waterfall, and a tour and a lot of history, and it's really neat. I found out that I'm slightly claustrophobic, so anytime here's the thing. And so Maxwell was asking me, he's like, so you're afraid of tight spaces, or you're afraid of small spaces, and it's not like being afraid of spiders or venomous snakes or anything. It's just kind of a situation where you don't really know you're claustrophobic until you're in a situation and you realize that you're kind of uncomfortable. So if you're in a stone tube 1,000 feet underground, it's something to maybe consider. Not that bad. So if you're claustrophobic at all, it wasn't really that bad. It wasn't super tight. But it was really, really neat. Joey, have you ever been to a cave, like an official bona fide cave?
I don't think I have. But
not like a drainage thing under a viaduct. I mean, like a natural.
It sounds really exciting, but I am worried I'd be the closet claustrophobic. Like, I wouldn't know it until I got in there.
It wasn't like that. There were moments where, because the air is a little bit heavy, and you're down there with a bunch of people. And I made some references to the Chilean miners, and of course we know how it worked out with them. And Maxwell had asked, like, hey, are there earthquakes in this area? And, I'm trying to be honest. I think there are. I think it's kind of in that Madras Fault, like general vicinity. But I said, you just hope for the duration of this tour, the next hour and a half, that nothing happens, right? And odds are.
Right.
And odds prevailed, and we were fine. So Ruby Falls, got a chance to see that. Definitely recommend people getting down there. It is very reasonable. I think it was $11 for kids, maybe $15, $17 for adults to go ahead and check it out. It takes a couple hours, but you get that opportunity that you don't always have here in Chicago to be in a cave. You can be in a deep tunnel, maybe. Right. But this was like a bona fide cave and some really cool stuff. And then on the way back, we got to stop in French Lick to a place called Wilson Ranch. And it is a little bit out of the way, 1,000 acres, maybe an hour west of Louisville. But definitely some place that I would recommend people to go and check out. Again, it's a couple hours. But if you love animals, if you go to the zoo and you appreciate that kind of stuff, and if you love, let's say, specifically elephants and giraffes, you got an opportunity to see them, touch them, be up close and personal with them. It was really, really, really cool. And we're going to talk with Jerry Foose a little bit later on, right after this first commercial break from there. He's been there 27 years, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the ranch, what they're doing, what's there, and all the great reasons to check it out. On the driving side, we are going to have a little bit later on in the program, NHRA driver Robert Height. He is record-setting not only here in Chicagoland but out in Sonoma, so we'll have him on. Pocono Raceway is race weekend for the Monster Energy Cup Series. And new track president Ben May is going to be calling in live to give us the feeling, the excitement, a little bit of the flavor of race weekend in the Poconos. And then Joey had set up, and we do some car tech now and then. John Kane, he is, you know his work from, I think, the New York Times and some other things, but his cars suck up data about you. Where does it all go? So a little bit, so you can, I guess, understand the capabilities of your car, maybe learn to fear your car. Joey, when you were thinking this, was this something you thought was pretty normal, or were you surprised when you were kind of setting this interview up?
You know, I think it's interesting because I never think about it, because we're so used to now just plugging everything into your car that now, of course, they would have your data. And you go, well, wait a minute, what can a car do with my data? We know what, you know, the internet or those providers or those ads kind of do with it. But I'm curious what happens with your car in terms of what they need it for, what they do with it. It's a very different model I never thought of. And when I saw the article, it made complete sense, but it was a, yeah, wait a minute, that's a wake-up call a little bit.
It just lets you know that no matter what it is you're doing, right, where you're doing it, that somebody is watching and someone is trying to collect that information and benefit with it.
Yeah, in the big brother of your car now.
Right. So maybe you want, instead of all those extra features, you'll go in and try to ask for the car that has
just AM radio.
Thank you. That's it. With only one station, 720 right here. When it comes to fun things for kids, you know, Nickelodeon is one of those channels. Nick Sports does a bunch of stuff, and they're the main sponsor for what is coming up, our race here at Chicagoland that kicks off the playoffs for NASCAR. It is the Tales of the Turtles 400. We're going to talk with Anthony DeCosmo. He is the head of content creation, and he is one of the vice presidents over there, about the thought process, partnering up with Turtles and racing, the connection between kids. You'll hear some cool stuff with him as well, I am sure. So stay tuned here. When we come back, we're going to have Jerry Foose. He is from Wilstom Ranch. And of course, at all times, and a big congratulations to Madeline with her 1952 Nash Ambassador. She was the winner last week of our Beef Party for 10 from Bona Beef for the bona fide ride of the show. So throughout the course of the program today, 312-981-7200. You can call in, you can give it to Joey, you can text in your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. We'll pick that winner before the end of the program. So stay tuned. It's here. It's On the Road with Dane on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Jerry with Wilstom, and you're on the road with Dane with WGN.
Tonight. 720 WGN on the road with Dane here live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Actually, this is On the Road, On the Road. We've been taking some road trips around America, across the country, all the way to Florida. And of course, if you remember, listeners have loved some of the features that we've done related to Indiana, just a road trip away. And this one is a little bit further than some of the ones that we've done. French Lick, Indiana, kind of down near the bottom of Indiana, but definitely worth every bit of the travel. It is Wilstom Ranch, and here we have Jerry Foose. He is the president here, been here for so many years, sharing some amazing stories. Jerry, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you, Dane. Glad to be with you.
Well, thanks for having us. I mean, first off, let's talk a little bit about the facility, the property we've got in the Chicagoland area. You know, so many people love animals. They love to see animals, interact with animals. We've got some great zoos up in Chicago. This is every bit of anything that you'd want from a zoo, but it is a world away from that as well, where you get to not only see some of these amazing animals, specifically African elephants and giraffes, but you get to interact with them. You get to really experience them.
Yes, you do. We like to think of it as instead of going to see an animal, you come to meet animals here at Wilstom. And the experience is one of a kind, totally unique experiences that have been, we've received guests from 8 countries, guests from every state in America. It's a very intimate opportunity. And we're very thankful for all the attention we've had from guests that seem to really want to enjoy what we've got here.
38 states in Canada as far as WGN signal and where it reaches. And but for people to come here when they could, yeah, I'm sure they have some sort of facilities, you know, in the, either their state or their country. What is it that makes this place so special? You get to meet the animals for sure, but it is very unique.
Well, it's very unique in that we have 1,100 acres here, so we're not sitting at the edge or inside a city. So the feel of it is entirely different. We are a farm, so we've got our warts that go with being a farm versus a beautiful facility. Our interest is in the care and hand-picking the animals that come here. So we're picking the kind of animals that people that want to be with people, that it's an enrichment for these animals to see people. And when they're not around, the animals miss them.
And I think, too, and this is something that we've shared as well, travel is transformative. And also, I think interacting with animals is transformative as well. This has got to be the only time probably that so many of the individuals that are here, that come here, that enjoy it, are going to get to be as up close and personal. So you get to have that personal experience. But talk a little bit about what you think it does as far as kind of on the educational side, enriching those individuals, giving them a kind of new, different, expanded understanding for elephants and giraffes.
Well, elephants are an animal that people have been, it's been well documented that they're in trouble, particularly African elephants, because of the ivory poaching. And so their habitat is going away. But a larger issue than habitat is the fact that it's very hard for these African countries to control and to stop the poaching that's going on. So these animals are going away. In addition to that, you've not had elephants of any number imported into the U.S. for the last 30 plus years. So you have an aging elephant population here in the U.S., but here what's going to happen is you're going to be able to look directly into the eye, feel the ivory. We've had, I can't tell you how many terminally ill people have come here. I can't tell you how many people have come here with wedding proposals, birthdays, traveled halfway around the world to be able to actually touch the ivory on an African elephant. And, of course, with the giraffes, it's a different story, and one that I think is more difficult, because the giraffes, people are unaware of the significant problems that giraffes are having right now in their population base. In Africa, a few decades ago, there were about 250,000 animals. There are less than 80,000 giraffes left in Africa, and they are on a fast pace to go away. So you actually can go hunt giraffes in part of that country today for about $2,500. So we really want people to get to know what a giraffe looks like, what a giraffe feels like, to look into the eyes of those animals, and then to make them more aware of the problem going on in Africa with those animals. Here in the U.S., you know, we have animals born, there are giraffe babies being born, and they're a great animal to display. They're a great animal for the public to interact with, but they're in real trouble in Africa.
So to really understand not only the animal, we all see them in books and cartoons and TVs and at the zoo, but to kind of understand the challenges that they face in their natural habitat. On the education side, and unlike what you would have at a zoo, certainly here you get to meet them, experience them, touch them, feel them, feed them. But also you really do have the luxury of having your staff experts being able to share almost, and very patient with almost any question. So in the end, you end up learning so much about them.
Well, we do. We try to make it educational in all cases, but we also want it to be fun. So we try to find a balance. And the best way we've been able to accomplish that is by, we will patiently stand there while those guests sitting in their comfortable bleachers ask any question they want about the animals, about the location, we'll stay there until the last question's answered before we go into the feeding sessions and things.
You've been doing this a long time, so obviously you've seen a lot of people and you've shared with a lot of people. I have been in a million different settings where, in super interesting settings that people have traveled and paid to be a part of, and people say, hey, any questions? And nobody has any. Are you surprised by how inquisitive people? I mean, there was no end to the questions and a lot of really great ones.
Well, I think the difference here is you don't feel rushed. In many settings where you're going to be close to one of these type of animals, you know, it's going to be a very large audience. Maybe you're standing there. Maybe there's a time limit that's going to pop in and surprise you, so you're not as comfortable. Once people start asking questions, it's amazing how many people then feel more comfortable about asking questions. Plus, we hear a lot of the same questions every day, but we get some new ones every now and then, and it causes us to have to go look that up. You know, what's the answer to that question? Right. So it's also good for the staff to be able to do that. And here again, our people that are working with these animals have great love of these animals. And you people that come and watch this and experience it, they see how much those animals react to the people that are taking care of them. And it's so obvious that they're very close.
Here's the thing, too, is, and let the listeners know we're talking with Jerry Foose here at Wilston Ranch in French Lick, is you mentioned you get to experience, you get to meet the animals. But you know what? It goes the other way, too. It is a two-way street, is that those animals seem to be getting, I don't want to say as much, but almost as much from interacting with the people. And that is something you would never get in a zoo setting.
Well, that's right. And it's amazing to me. People, on Mondays, we do not have the public in for the elephants, and it's a day off for the staff. And while the elephants do get their required bath, they have to have one bath a day under the USDA license. But at 2:30 in the afternoon, if we happen to take ATVs past their pasture, they're standing at the barn waiting to go in to get their baths. And so that is their excitement, is to be able to go in and kind of see this thing. And who of course, wouldn't like to get a scrubbed on and rinsed off and shampooed and taken care of in that way? And when people see the animals and see them literally going to sleep during these baths that they're getting, they have no question as to whether this is good for those animals or not.
Well, they're getting some great care, and you look at some of the situation. This is one of the things we've talked about, the challenges that they face, whether it's poachers, you know, in kind of their home countries. But some of the things that have gone on here, some of the changes in regulation, some of the changes in the way that people are interacting with the elephants. So let's talk about it. You've got a place like this, a facility that obviously the animals are enjoying, that the people are enjoying. But there's been some changes, like that you've said, that people aren't necessarily aware of as far as contact with elephants, that maybe the intentions are good, but sometimes it can have some negative effects.
Yeah, many of the zoos, most zoos that keep elephants have gone to a zero contact. And while with the public, most of those animals were never engaged with the public to any degree. They certainly were with the handlers and caregivers. And I just think it's really wrong for those animals that have spent years, in many cases 20 and 30 years with handlers that have been touching them, and they've been able to touch those animals. The animals have been able to touch the handlers, and all of a sudden there's zero contact. And I think the animal can get very confused by the fact that there's a change in the way they're being taken care of.
Some of the interactions and the education, I think, is interesting, too, and some of the things that you find out where you think, because these are kind of animals in the team photo of things that we know and have grown up with, but there's a difference. I think on the elephant side, people are aware that there's an Asian elephant and that there's an African elephant. On the giraffe side, I think people just think a giraffe is a giraffe is a giraffe, but there's differences.
There are differences, and primarily it's in the coat on these giraffes and where, what part of Africa they originate from. So you have 9 subspecies of giraffes, and they actually think a couple of them are really at the cusp of going extinct. But because of how giraffes are distributed across Africa, they do not, so a Maasai giraffe will not see a reticulated giraffe. They don't interact with each other, so you don't have any interbreedings, unlike you would with horses or with many animals. So there is a difference, and generally you can look at the coat of a giraffe and know what region of the world, in what region of the continent of Africa it originated from.
So a little bit more of the education side when it comes to stars of the show. You said it's a farm. This is a beautiful area, and I know that the animals appreciate it as much as a lot of the guests. And stars of the show, yes, the elephants, the giraffes are the stars. They play a leading role. But you guys have a lot of other things going on. We saw, I know coming up soon, you guys are expanding. You've got some kangaroos coming. I think I saw a zebra. I think my son was excited to see a donkey. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, we have a wonderful collection of small animals, and those animals are all hand-picked so that people can go up. If they come up to the people, you don't have to worry about whether they're going to get bit or not. These animals choose to do that. They certainly are not forced to do it. They seem to enjoy the interaction with people. We do have a breeding pair of zebras. We plan on adding a few more zebra to that, although zebra are a tricky animal to introduce new animals into a group. But we're going to work on that. We also have a small herd of bison. We do have about 20 head of riding stock on horses. So we do have horseback riding on site here. We've got 35 miles of wooded trails. Then we have many small animals. We also do ATV side-by-side touring here, and we have a zip line course, wonderful zip line course. So people come here for lots of different things, but our animals, we're about to make some really big changes here in terms of building a huge barn that will enable animals to come in and out of that depending on the type of weather we have and the season of the year. And that will enable people to have an interaction with, for example, baby zebra or with the kangaroos, which we're going to develop a program. We have those animals here now. We will be developing a program where you're going to go in with the kangaroos as well.
Wow. So well, you hear some of the cheers and the noises from some of the younger fans here, so something for all ages. I think you've got some cabins here as well.
Yes, we do lodging. We have from a one-bedroom cabin to a 10-bedroom lodge. It's 125 years old. So we have assorted lodging on site.
So a lot of different things, including it looks like a finely appointed gift shop there as well. But none of this happens in a vacuum. Talk about all the visitors. You talk about the education, so much to gain and experience and enjoy here at Wilstom. How can people get involved and support it? I know that you've got some new facilities that you've built, some new ones that you're planning. It all takes, the support of everybody to make these things happen so we can all enjoy it.
Well, it does. Unfortunately, with the elephants and with the giraffes, you know, the fees that people are paying for the opportunity to get up close and interact with these animals actually has provided full support and enabled us to give them outstanding care. So actually, they're supporting us just by showing up and participating in a huge way. We do have one project we're working on right now. It's a small, relatively small project, but guests have asked us, how can we get involved, and is there anything more we can do with these elephants? And so we have opened up. We've been awarded a not-for-profit status for an elephant enrichment fund. It's a small fund that's going to be used in 2018 to build a outdoor pool in their pasture. And so right now they've got mud wallers and mineral pits they dig, and trees are up in the woods.
Did Lou or any of the other elephants put that in the suggestion box, the pool?
Well, the pool, the elephants are just so much in love with water. And so sometimes when we get dry periods during the middle of summer, our mud waller dries up. So this will give us an opportunity to have the animals in there irregardless of how hot or how dry it is here.
Exciting stuff. So let's talk before we let you go. The website where people can see all the different accommodations, the animals, the hours, the times when you guys are open, and how they can get in on some of this here at Wilstom.
Okay, our website is wilstemranch.com, and then when you go in there and go to the homepage, there's banners across the top that you can pick whether you're looking at lodging, whatever type of activity, whether it's an animal encounter, all that's on there. You can book all your reservations online, which is relatively new for us. We've taken a big leap here with the total online reservation system. And any questions you have, of course, it's got our phone number, and there's a lot of great photos and a lot of great information as to exactly what's entailed in any of these activities.
WilstomRanch.com here. Get out here. You've got to make a trip, whether you make it a yearly trip to come out and see the animals or all the things that are new and changing, or a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience and to meet some of these amazing animals. Definitely get out here. And Jerry, thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming in. We really have enjoyed having you here, and look forward to your guests hearing about this and becoming aware of us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Cal Petty, and you're on the road with Dane of WGN.
Victims of psychos, victims of life. 720 WGN on the road with Dan again, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is for the people that texted in, we had a number of people interested in hearing about the ranch. It's Wilstom Ranch, so Wilstem Ranch down there in French Lick, and definitely check out their website and get down there if you can. It is an amazing place. If you love animals, you are going to love it. Also, too, some great cars coming in. We've got the Corvair. We've got a 69 Grand Torino, Gremlin X, some of the cars that people are adding in, weighing in. All will be entered to win the Bona Beef Beef Party for 10 by being the bona fide ride of the show. And you can do that at 312-981-7200. You can call, you can leave them with Joey, you can text them in. You can also email to ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com. We'll take a look at those before the end of the program. As well. So here's the thing. Back in the day, and you think about some of the cars that people have weighed in as far as their favorite car, classic car, some of the things that you see out at the cruise nights and car shows. Simple cars that people, and some of the feedback we get, that they were able to work on themselves. You know, they were able to work on the car, build the car, fix the car, repair the car, soup the car up. And now those tables have turned. And now not only are people, you know, not able to really do much work themselves on the cars themselves. In fact, the cars are really doing a lot of work on you, recording some of the data, figuring out some of your trends. Who knows exactly what they're doing? On the line with us, he's John Quain. He's a technology reporter. You've seen him on television, in newspapers, magazines, articles, recently in New York Times with his article, Cars Suck Up Data About You. Where does it all go? John, welcome to WGN.
Glad to be here.
So this is, I think, a natural extension, right, as the technology world looks to capture our activities, our actions in anything that we do for any period of time. You got to figure, and I don't know what the statistics are, maybe you know them, how much time we actually spend, you know, out of our lifetime in a car, in traffic. It's got to be significant. So fill us in on what's going on with the cars.
Well, the whole, you know, your car has become this connected device over the past few years, as navigation systems were kind of the start of it. And they need to be connected to be updated, information on traffic, et cetera. And then you started connecting your phone to the car. And, of course, that was following you around as well. And that's sort of a natural thing to do and use as well. If you're going to make calls hands-free, which you should be doing, it should be connected to your car as well. And from that, there were systems like OnStar that have been around for years. And, of course, very convenient system, great, great accessibility. You push a button in an emergency, you get somebody right away. Lots of great features about it. But that was sort of the tip of the coming iceberg of information because, of course, people want more information about what we're doing, our habits, where we are we on vacation, are we sitting in traffic somewhere, and all that information is valuable to marketers, to retailers, but to a lot of other people too. It's valuable to the municipality that wants to build new roads. Is this a good place to build a new road or a new pedestrian walkway or a good place for a bike lane? All that information can help them with that. So as we get to, you know, autonomous vehicles, when we get there, there'll be a lot of information about you and be tracking.
You know what? When you think about that, and here's the thing, I can understand for the communities as far as like the traffic patterns or trying to get new, you know, funding for roads, if they could at least have a GPS and really understand, you know, how many cars are passing through or what the rate is or where things get plugged up. That makes a lot of sense to me. When you mentioned the, you know, kind of these autonomous cars, you know, as we're looking at cars that'll self-drive, we've already got the ones that can park themselves. And I know we've heard from, whether it's, I think it was Uber, right, that's planning on having these cars that will drive themselves down there. And every car is going to do that. Just as, and you know this, either on your phone or computer, they kind of gauge like things that you've either searched or interested in. And so there'll be pop-ups saying like, hey, you know, it's a, you know, Burger King is right up. Is that what we're looking at? Is now your car will have, they'll let you know that Burger King is up ahead and that Burger King has, you know, half off burgers or things like that, where they'll try to capitalize on the marketing side?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the first ideas that people have had. Some navigation systems were already do that. You'll see little pop-ups and things on cars. You know, they're just experimenting with it. The trouble is, since you're supposed to be driving right now,
right,
you don't want to be distracted by these things in advertising. And automakers are pretty sensitive, probably more sensitive than other businesses, to customer feedback and response. You know, things, if we get upset with something about a car, they're pretty sensitive about how we react to it. So it's not like they're going to start foisting ads on us anytime really soon. But there is a lot of this data. The trouble is, in the United States, there aren't any real rules about how people can use this. So once you check that little box that says the user agreement on whatever it was that you checked, on whatever app it was, whatever navigation thing that you triggered, you've pretty much given them access to your email, contacts, where you've been, what websites you looked at. It's a sort of an endless amount of data. The only rules that really are real rules in the United States have to do with your medical records, with HIPAA. But other than that, it's kind of a free-for-all. So that's sort of one of the issues that we face in going forward is, should we have some limitations on this? Should we be able to control that data? Should we know who's looking at it? That sort of thing.
When you first think about it, it's the kind of thing that people would say, no, I would rather not do that. I would rather you didn't have that information. But, you know, you've got some very smart and enterprising folks that, whether it's a reason you mentioned OnStar or Bluelink, where they take just the kind of the safety situations, like, well, in the unlikely event that you're, you know, that the car's upside down in a riverbed and you need to call someone because, you know, this is a situation where you really need to have that connectivity. And you wonder, too, as far as, you know, on that, if it's the kind of thing that's the entry point, and then you've got the marketing side of it. But they work so hard to make it so cool. It's just so great. It's so easy. Recently, my wife just got a newer job that is pretty far away. And so they work together to get, it's like a 2017 Hyundai Elantra. So it's an Elantra. So this is not a luxury car by any means. Very reasonable, very reasonably priced. But it's got so much cool stuff on it that you didn't even see from cars just maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's amazing. It plugs into everything. The GPS is indispensable, really. And the, you know, on the music side and the tech side, they really work hard to make it so cool that, like you had said, you'll check that box because you need the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Hyundai is a great example of a car company that sort of made this technology down to the mass market. You know, it started in luxury vehicles. Hyundai's really brought a lot of it to the road for the rest of us, that the rest of us can afford. And so that's a great thing, and there's some great safety features as part of this technology. And I'm very nervous about and sensitive to privacy, and I've been hacked, and I've had my identity stolen, and, you know, lots of incidents of fraud against me because of some of this data being out there. However, you know, when it comes to something like Waze or using INRIX for traffic information, I'm there. I'm happy to let them know exactly where I am and how fast I'm driving, because they have saved me, you know, applications like that have saved me 45 minutes on a drive, an hour, by avoiding some traffic jam. And, you know, I live in the New York City area, so around here it's an invaluable resource. And I'm certainly willing to give up that information, you know, for that kind of benefit that I don't have to pay for. So there are instances, I think there are a lot of things, as you raise, hey, there's some great places where I'd be willing to give up that information, but maybe not if you're going to tell me where the next Starbucks is.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, too, because, you know, you've got to be able to kind of focus on the road, 10 and 2, all that kind of stuff. But as the cars become more autonomous and where you don't have to do all of the thinking and the movements on the driving side, maybe they can make a case that, like, we want to be entertained and you've got this great content. Maybe you want to watch this or listen to that, and they can filter in some of those ads as well. Letting the listeners know, we're talking with John Quain. He is a technology reporter. You see him on television, in newspapers, articles recently, in the New York Times as well. And we're talking about some of the technology in the cars, the great stuff that you know and love, but the backside of it, because there's always a give take in the world. We're going to take a quick break, John. So if you could hold tight for just a second, we're going to take maybe 2-minute break. We're going to come back and then talk about some of the things maybe we don't know, maybe some of the cool things on the horizon, or maybe some of the kind of concerns. Things, maybe scary things on the horizon, if you think about the data and where it goes. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Phil LeBeau from CNBC-TV, and you are On the Road with Dane on WGN Radio.
It's time to move on. It's time to get going. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, busy Michigan Avenue, lots of cars out there, some older ones, some newer ones, some that are collecting data all about you to use against you, or maybe for the demise of the world, or maybe, you know, galactically, who knows. On the line with us, we've got John Quain. He is a technology reporter, writer, television correspondent. Recently, you saw John's work in the New York Times. John, welcome back to WGN.
Good to be here.
So we know about some of the things, and I felt, you know, during the break, I'm thinking to myself, how do I feel about all this? And I think we're almost just kind of just resigned to the fact that all the information that you've got, it's just going to become public at some point. Anything that you've got out there, they're going to be able to use. And ultimately, I think maybe to enrich your life in some way, maybe present you with options that they've deemed you're interested in anyway. So on the marketing side, you definitely see that. But what are some of the things that you found that are either on the horizon that either interesting or concerned you, or maybe kind of like really cool that we should look forward to, or maybe try to avoid?
Well, I'm very much, I keep riding, and I shouldn't say testing them, but riding in autonomous vehicles, test vehicles that researchers are using, and they are getting better and better. Some are better than others. Not, you know, a Waymo, which is Google's company car, behaves a little differently from an Audi that's a self-driving research vehicle. But I'm very keen about those. I do a lot of long-distance drives, and I think that that is something that people are going to really appreciate. We're a little skeptical now, you know, which is what we should be, but I think that's going to be a tremendous benefit. All those cars will be connected. They will have to be connected to make them really safe. And that data is going to be used. Now, the governments are sort of looking at it now. The automakers don't want any government intervention, but at some point there'll be some rules about how that data is used. The creepiness factor comes in when you consider what the smartphone is able to do. So if you have your smartphone and you're using it and it's live, and or not even using it, if it's on and it's in your car, it's probably tracking where you are and how fast you're going. It probably knows the last websites you want to, and it probably knows if you're using a dating app, you know, some data about that dating app. There are actually companies that put that information together. Your dating app, your browsing history, traffic information about you, because they can purchase that information from some of these companies. They sort of mash it all together and then can figure out pretty quickly how old you are, whether you're on vacation, where you are on the road, where you're probably going. It gets to be interesting, but creepy.
Well, you mentioned the creepy factor. You think about it. It's one thing to have Burger King ads pop up because they know that you enjoy, you know, the flame broiled burger now and then. But think about that. If the dating app is up and as you're driving along, who knows who with, it pops up that you're passing Brenda's house, who is a perfect match on 29 different levels of compatibility. You know, and right. Maybe she pops. You never know. Is it all going to be driven by dollars? And you mentioned the government as well. I could see, you know, them on some of the funding that they're going to allocate here, there, maybe even on the research side, where they would want to know some of these things about the habits and things that happen. But is it all going to be mostly marketing?
Yeah, it's difficult to tell. Right now, companies, the automakers, and even these people who make these apps for our smartphones are trying to figure out where they can make money, you know, where they can, in Silicon Valley terms, monetize this data. And but even companies like Facebook and Twitter are having trouble figuring out how to monetize that data. You know, Twitter is still making money and seems to be slowing down on subscribers, and yet it's at the cutting edge of a lot of this social networking stuff. So if they're having trouble, you can imagine what it's like to be an automaker thinking, gee, I just used to build cars and I was worried about, you know, how fast they went in fuel efficiency and safety, and now you're telling me I've got to deal with all this data and what should I do with it and can I make money from it? So they're still in a quandary about what to do with it. You know, the first things you'll see are probably your car being called in for service or something like that, that becomes much more automatic. You see some of that today. But how that it's going to be marketing-wise, because it's going to be very tricky, because I don't want to be, you know, stuffing my face in the car, even if I'm not driving the car. That's pretty intrusive.
Well, I could see it too, is if called in for service, it's one thing if the car says, hey, it's time to get the oil change. It's another if it's like, you know, Larry's detail shop that calls, you know, that, hey, you got to come in here and, you know, get your tires shined. But it isn't something that's necessary. It's something that they just like for you to do.
I think the recalls, I mean, you and I probably look at that all the time in the automotive business. And the trouble is often they can't track down owners. Maybe the car's changed hands and somebody else owns it. You've moved, or you just don't pay attention to that letter in the mailbox. This could, you know, enforce those kind of recalls and improve safety in another respect. Look, you really have to come in for that transmission and your car's going to drive there if you don't.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it could actually do that as well, where it just your car's not in the garage. Yeah. And you just get an email that said that your car had to go get this thing taken care of. Well, there's some reasons like that. I think those are the entry points for all those other reasons that either we, you know, I guess can accept or I guess we're just going to have to deal with down the road on the marketing side. But good thing we are blessed that we have people, you know, guarding the gate of our privacy when it comes to cars like you, John Quain. So let the listeners know social media wise how they can keep up with you, follow all of your adventures, and see what you're doing.
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm JQ on Tech. It's JQ on Tech with an H on the end of it. If you're interested in cars, actually, I just started to do a website. It's called On the Road to Autonomy. On the Road to Autonomy, all one word, .com, and you'll see some articles there about electrification of vehicles, technology, new safety systems, things like that. Because it's a lot to decipher. If you're trying to buy a car today, gosh, it's a lot different than it was just a few years ago.
There's so much cool stuff. You know, the one thing that we can guarantee is that it is going to be happening. It is coming, and it's great to have you here to help us kind of figure it out. So, John, thanks so much for being on the show today.
That's been fun.
All right, thanks. That is John Quain, and you can catch up with him. We'll have all of his links on the WGN Radio site as well. Quick break, and then we're going to come back and send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Anthony DiCosmo from Nickelodeon, and you're listening to Dane on WGN.
...720 WGN, on the road with Dane here on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, and in studio with us, excited when it comes to racing here in Chicago. This is, you know, it's the start of the playoffs. It is the start of a lot of the great racing that happens here in the Midwest, and in studio is the man behind what happens at Chicagoland Speedway again for year two. Is the Senior Vice President of Sports Marketing and Content Development. That is important, the one and only Anthony DiCosmo. Welcome to WGN.
It's like my second home. Thanks for having me back, though.
Well, it's great to have you back for whatever reason. Anytime you can make it back to Chicago, definitely come on in, and we'd love to have you. But this is an exciting reason. It's National Superhero Day, right? So you flew in. You're incognito, right? You're doing the Clark Kent right now. You don't have your cape.
I am, and I brought some friends with me, too, which is really exciting because it's fitting on National Superhero Day that I bring Raphael of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with
me. He is in studio with us.
Yeah. But,
you know, and he doesn't have a Clark Kent. You know, he doesn't go incognito at any point. He is out there. He is the people's friend, and they friended him back. So many pictures. Were you surprised when you travel? You know, it's you work with celebrities on a regular basis, especially in the sports world, and you're dealing with them. Just how beloved these guys are, and people love to kind of hang out and get to know them.
And when you walk down the street with the Turtles, it's literally like walking down the street with the Beatles. That's what I'm saying, right?
Hashtag walking with the Beatles.
Yeah, I love that one. No, it's amazing. The fandom, and it spans across generations. It's not just kids that are chasing after the Turtles. A lot of times it's their parents dragging the kids, like, look who it is. And the kid's like, I know, Dad, I know, right? But, like, that level of excitement and energy is just always fun when you can harness it, bring it with you to different places, makes people smile. What's better than that?
You know, things that are popular with kids and with adults don't often meet. It's not often that these characters kind of transcend into that next generation, but you have that. You have that with the Turtles, and you're making use of it, bringing it to one of the top spectator sports out there, one of our favorites here. And it mentioned it's great to have you in studio again, and this is because you are here announcing another amazing occurrence that's going to be happening at Chicagoland Speedway.
Tales of the Turtles 400 is coming back. The Turtles are coming back to Chicagoland. This is our second year partnering with Chicagoland Speedway on the race, kicking off the playoffs, and we're going to do it in a big way. We're really focusing on bringing some fun for everybody while we're here. That's an important thing. So if you're a fan of racing, either a fanatic or just a casual fan, I think there's going to be a good time for everyone to be had.
You get out there, you do things once. If you decide to do them again, and in a big way, it's usually a testament to some success or something going right. I was excited to have it because, you know, in the world of racing, there are so many sponsors, and you've got to love them all. But it's exciting when you can have something that really does speak to every element of that fan base. So let's kind of recap last year's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 400. Huge success. So many great personalities involved. Obviously fun for the family. Talk about why it was so great and made you think to do it again.
Yeah, so the Nickelodeon team got together with the Chicagoland team, really plan out a fun family engagement piece, some activations on the ground. We had, I believe, 9 cars total. In the race with these custom paint schemes, which was really great. So we had a really great fan engagement strategy. The one thing we didn't plan for that we were shocked was the amount of fandom and people that turned out with their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles paraphernalia, whether it was, you know, the dads with their Retros Turtles T-shirts or the kids that had either hats on or their face painted. We didn't expect all that. We were a bit overwhelmed, like, whoa, we're really onto something here. And, you know, and look, we want to make sure that there's something for Dad, for mom and also for the kids. And this is the property to do it with, right?
Well,
so let's come back.
There's something for them, right? It's what's happening on the track. But what's cool is you guys are bringing so many value adds to the rest of it. And did you think about that? You know, as you're sitting there trying to build in a lot of the sports, and for those listeners out there, Anthony DeCosmo is a former professional athlete. And so you've had your hand on the pulse of a lot of the sports world. And then you kind of got to build and you got to make it, you know, relative to kids, you know. And so have you found have to kind of reverse engineer this thing and try to take the kids thing and make it relative to the parents? You mentioned the dads.
Well, look, I think the common theme amongst all sports is that everybody wants to get younger. Everybody wants to grab that next generation fan. And that's, you know, what we're looking to do here. And I think that's where we've kind of struck gold a little bit. You know, there's a handful of properties right now that really cross generations. And this is one of the few iconic properties that does that. So we're really looking to take advantage of it. And, you know, and again, like you said, there's so much action happening on the track. It's a long day there, and it gives you a chance to, you know, look, if there's a break in the action or before the action happens, gives you a little something else to do that kind of keeps you excited, keep you engaged, you know, and a different reason to connect intergenerationally. So hopefully, you know, that's kind of what we anticipate having again. We're gonna throw a few curveballs in there to make it something fun, new, and exciting again, and hopefully, you know, everyone's going to have a good time.
See, racing has that, you know, where it does have, it's got the time period to be able to account for that. You've got the sponsors, always an angle in there. And with your background in sports, and you're bringing so many different sports and some of those great personalities kind of to the kids and introducing them oftentimes to that sport. But for your background in racing, like, was this something that you knew it was big? It is big. It's bright. It's bold. It's loud. It's all sorts of things that people love. But as far as your introduction to racing and building it in Nickelodeon, was that a natural fit, or was it something, I know I got to figure out a way to get this done?
I think it's a natural fit for a number of reasons. This is a legacy sport, right? It's the kind of sport that you want to show up and you want to share with your kid, right? You want to show up to a race and say, wow, this is a moment, something that we can do together. And we really are at a moment at Nickelodeon where that first generation of parent that grew up watching Nickelodeon now has that kid. And that's a moment we want to take advantage of. And we think that marrying that to NASCAR makes a lot of sense. You know, I've been really impressed working with NASCAR in their willingness to kind of push their brand and go into that family space, not only with the experience at the track, but with some of their content. We have a co-production with them,
right,
and we've given them suggestions on things that we think that kids are going to like. And they've actually been willing to say, you know what, we'll try that. They've been willing to say, you know, we're willing to push this brand and stretch it to make sure that we're being inclusive of that next generation. And we've seen tremendous results on our air. It's one of the most watched shows on our Nick Sports block in Hammer Down, which is the name of the series.
Yeah. In a lot of situations, usually the sponsorship is maybe a driving force or benefit more to one than the other. I see this as really, I think they need Nickelodeon as much as you may be able to benefit or enjoy being involved with them on the racing side.
Look, without making this an oversell, right? In a perfect world, this really is a brand new platform that exists for both Nickelodeon and NASCAR, right? The opportunity for these NASCAR sponsors and partners to dip into the family space in a new and exciting way, and an opportunity for Nickelodeon to dip into the racing world and bring new partners into our space, whether it's around this content, this experience, or even somewhere else. So I think that's where this is an opportunity for both brands to stretch,
yep,
and entertain their fans in a new and exciting way.
Yeah, you're going to have both, you know, fans of both kind of meeting in the middle and kind of getting to enjoy each other. Let's talk a little bit about some of the changes in racing from an overall sponsorship perspective. You've got Monster Energy coming in. They are kind of new and hip and kind of bring, you know, a different level of energy, no pun intended, to what's going on. You mentioned you were at the Daytona 500. I was there as well. Got a chance to sit with Gronkowski, Rob, right,
yeah,
who's participated in some of your things too. So talk about the excitement of that event, maybe some of the new things that race fans will either enjoy or look forward to with some of these new partnerships and things that are going on, and your experience at the 500. What did you think?
Well, look, first of all, my experience at the 500, whether it's the first time you've come to a race or you've been to a lot of races, it's always one of the most impressive sporting events that you can go to. You know, with this job and what I do, I have the pleasure of being able to go to everything from NBA All-Star to Super Bowl.
It's pretty
and
sweet.
It's amazing, right? I mean, I'm blessed to be able to do that, and I'm hands down, this is one of the best sporting events of the year, and I always look forward to going to it. So having Monster come in is definitely a different energy.
Yeah.
I think you can visually see it when you're there. I think you can feel that sort of energy. Again, no pun intended, but, you know, it's just so easy to kind of – that's a layup right there. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's just there. I keep saying it. Let's get it out there.
Well, we've got a lot
get,
of time.
Yeah, let's get it out there now.
Right? We've got a lot of time to get the word out there as people kind of gear up and plan for the Monster Energy Cup weekend happening at Chicagoland. Got a little bit of time. It's September 14th mm-hmm. through the 17th. You've got those races, and then the 17th coming up for the Tales of the Turtle 400. You mentioned there's going to be some curveballs, so maybe you can't share all of that stuff, but do you have – and you had a number of cars participating in the race last time. Is it going to be similar where you're going to have multiple cars participating? And do you have some drivers? Bubba Wallace, who's been on this show a number of times, he's great, a great personality, a big Turtles fan. I mean, are you going to switch it up a little?
Look, Bubba's one of my favorite guys. He's been a part of our program the last 2 years. We did the SpongeBob SquarePants 400 in Kansas 2 years ago. He was in that program, and then last year he was also in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400. One of my favorite guys. We had Daniel Suarez involved last year. You know, he is one of the big up-and-coming guys in this Cup Series. We're super excited to, you know, have worked with him. These are the kind of folks that we're really, you know, interested in working with. They are the next generation driver. You know, they represent the next generation of this sport, of these fans, and what they should expect from the sport from where I sit. So it's excited to get those kind of drivers in there and then also get those big name legacy drivers and those drivers that even transcend the sport. Last year we were lucky to have Danica Patrick involved. You know, she's larger than life, and having her involved I think brings it to a different level. I think having both of those kind of, you know, that's the spectrum of driver right there.
Right.
You know, and it's great having them both involved for different reasons. I think that's what we're going to look to do again this year is have some of those young drivers involved that are the up-and-coming guys and then some of those big drivers as well.
ChicagolandSpeedway.com is the place to go to get tickets and get all the things and all the information about the events that are happening out there between September 14th and the 17th for the Tales of the Turtle 400 going to happen on that Sunday, the 17th as well. And on this show, as you travel the country and you talk about, you know, you're blessed to be able to do all these things. And I think that Nickelodeon is blessed to have you, too. You are on Superhero Day. You're a superhero in the sports marketing world. So I know that they're appreciative of it. And one of the things that we do is we have, regardless of, you know, our notable guests, you know, whether it's in the driving world, entertainment or whatever, is they share kind of their relationship with like their first car. Did you, I mean, now, of course, because of, you know, everything and all the success, you can have any car that you want, of course, right? And but in the
maybe
past,
not any car,
but growing up, Anthony, yes. Like what was your first car? Was it something cool or was it something not
my
so cool?
My first car was a Volkswagen Cabriolet, right? Look, man,
no, like, back in the day, those were, it was a convertible.
Listen, yeah, right? Like that was it back in the day. Like I was the guy that had that car, and like, you know, this is a while ago. So I mean, let's just be real. But it was a great thing. You know, I would say I'm a car guy. I wouldn't say I know how to, like, you know, I don't know how to build an engine.
We got people for that.
Listen.
Professionals.
We're speaking the same language here, right? I can't change the oil, but somebody can, right?
You're helping create jobs. That's what you're doing. You don't want to X out part of the workforce there.
You know in Jersey you don't pump your own gas?
I do know that. And I have been there before, and I'm wondering if it's – is it for, they're going to, well, some people would say it's for safety reasons, right? But I see the employment side of it, right? You got to hire a couple guys to stand there and wait and do that. But in other states, I don't know how many times I've heard about someone blowing themselves up, but I think it's for safety. And it's also in the state of Oregon is the other state that you're not allowed to pump your own gas.
Listen, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I sometimes still struggle with figuring out, what do I do here? I don't know what to do. That's amazing.
Right. Well, you know, there's the lever and all that kind of stuff. And last thing, as people, NASCAR fans, and you know this, Anthony, they travel. They do family road trips. They get in the Winnebago, and instead of, you know, tailgating like they would at a football game, you know, maybe a couple hours before game time, they are there on Wednesday before the Sunday race. Did you guys do, you know, the family, did you ever get out there and, like, get in the family truckster and head out to a national park or anything? Or maybe to concerts with friends, any of that road trip stuff?
When I was a kid, my family took me on a trip across country in summer break. So we all loaded up into like one of those little mini campers.
Was it the world's largest ball of twine, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, man. We went, yes, everywhere from, you know, the Redwood Forest to New Orleans. I mean, literally, we hit 48 states, Mexico,
whoa,
and Canada, right? Like, it was amazing. It was the whole summer. So, yes, I'm used to kind of hitting the road, traveling, doing those sort of things. One thing I missed until, you know, I probably hit my late 20s was what it was like to go to a tailgate. because I was always playing in these games.
Right.
And like when I went to a Boston College Notre Dame game, like, you know, 4 years after I was there, I had no idea what I was missing in that college experience. This was going on while I was in there playing. Like, I feel like I was robbed, right?
It makes you let go of the career a little bit easier, right? You're like, hey, you know what? It's a way to enjoy. And in the racing world, of course, they're tailgating from Wednesday to Sunday. He is one of the best in the business. He is Anthony DeCosmo over there at Nickelodeon, Senior VP of Sports Marketing and Content Development. So he is responsible for creating some of those great sports-related programs that you know and love. And before we let you go, Anthony, if you want to, like, the site where people can get the schedule, all the different shows, the events, and all the cool things going on in Nick Sports.
On Nick Sports is www.nick.com is where you go. Is our hub for everything Nickelodeon, including Nickelodeon Sports.
Look forward to seeing you all over the place in all the different sports that you guys are participating in. Of course, here in September at Chicagoland Speedway for Tales of the Turtles 400. And thanks for being in WGN today.
Well, thank you for having me again, man. And hopefully you'll have me back again.
Oh, for sure. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back after the commercial break, Derek Young, local traffic reporter, is going to talk about his drag racing experience and his first cars. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
720 WGN On the Road with Dane live here at River Roast. We've got Derek Young here from CBS2. He is the man that manages the traffic that we usually get to see out on the roads instead of out on the track. He's here with us. Derek, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Now, you are a race fan, obviously a traffic fan.
Yes.
Well, or at least you help us manage our frustrations with traffic. But when it comes to getting on the track, like, you love the sport. Like, you were out with the Frank Hawley Racing School with me. You did very, very, very well. From what I understand, were you the top qualifier?
One driver, wow. Exactly. 126.28. And what a feeling it was to be in a 575-horsepower automobile and just be able to floor it and not have to worry about anything but don't turn the steering wheel, because I didn't want to hit the wall on the right or the left. But it was an amazing experience, and it gave me an appreciation for what they do, driving 330-plus miles an hour under control.
It's difficult to imagine what that is like, but you get a little bit of an insight to it with what we did. But there is no age restrictions on racing. You got John Force at the top of his game. He's going to be out there for the foreseeable future. Was there any moment where you decided, hey, you know what, I beat all of these other media people. I could probably beat other people. I've got to give this television gig up and get racing.
You know what? I called my parents immediately. I said, hey, Mom and Dad, will you sell your home and give me some money and support me? I want to go drag race. So I need a team. I don't think I can get a sponsor like Jimmy John or Peak. So I need my parents to sponsor me. So it will be Mom and Dad on my shirt. And either I'm going to win everything or I'm going to lose it. But I'll tell you what, I wish I could do it. And it's right, he's 68. So I still got 20 years of driving to do.
That's right. You can get out.
You can sponsor.
We'll get a two-seater. I'll ride shotgun.
There you go.
Anyway, thanks so much. And let people know how they can catch up with all your adventures. Now, you're pretty active on social media. And, of course, see you on Channel 2.
Yep, so catch me on Derek C. Young on everything. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. CBS 2 in the morning, 4:30 to 8:30 a.m. And I'm trying to give people the best traffic information. I'm born and bred right here in Chicago, so this is my city, too.
And on the show, we typically ask whether it's, you know, celebrities, race car drivers, famous chefs, you name it, people of notoriety here in Chicago. We've got Derek Young. What was your first car? Was your first car something you saved up for, were embarrassed about, proud of? What was it?
So here's a funny story on that. My first car was a Toyota Celica. It was champagne color, right? My dad bought it for me, used in college, and I looked at him. And
Celica,
I said,
was a very nice automobile. I remember we had one.
It was champagne pink. And I looked at him after day one. I said, Dad, really? I can't drive this car. So we took it back, and he said, okay, son, what do you want? I had a good job in college. He said, I'm going to get you the car you want. So I got a 1988 brand-new Ford Mustang 5.0. I was the coolest dude on campus. So although my first car was a champagne pink Toyota Celica for one day, I claimed the Mustang is my first car.
Plus, you were able to show your softer side a little bit there.
A little bit, right. So it showed I had balance.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford Fusion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It was great hearing from Anthony DeCosmo about our Chicagoland race that's coming up. The Tales of the Turtle 400 as the playoffs start. But one of the things we always say on this program is that the tracks are as big a stars as the drivers themselves. And on the line with us now, giving us an insight into the excitement of a race weekend going on as we speak, is the one and only president at Pocono Raceway, Ben May. Ben, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. This is really great. We know that you know, there's so much that leads up to a race weekend. For you to be able to take a couple minutes to join us and our listeners is exceptional. But give us a little bit of insight. There is nothing like the excitement of a race weekend, specifically in NASCAR. I know the Truck Series race just wrapped up, and you guys are getting ready for a Monster Energy Cup tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Christopher Bell just parked it in victory lane for the Overton's 150. So big win for him. A beautiful weekend here in the Poconos. You know, this is why people live here when it's 75 and no humidity here at the end of July. So we're pumped up about the Overton's 400 and looking like another beautiful day in the Pocono Mountains tomorrow.
The tracks and all of them are unique. Poconos is one of the unique ones, the Tricky Triangle. There's nobody that's going to accuse it of being one of those cookie cutter tracks as well. So talk a little bit about the history there. You're the president, you're the new president there at Pocono. And for the listeners, I think we've had probably at least four presidents at Chicagoland Speedway just in the maybe 15 years that it has existed. It's a family-owned track, and you're the first person to be president there that isn't necessarily part of the owning family. So it's got to be a great honor. But I think I read you've been working there since you were a kid, so you're like family.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been joking this weekend that they like, well, I guess he's not leaving, so we might as well just keep having him around. But in all honesty, the Mattioli family's been great to me. I actually went to college at Elon with our new CEO Nick Igdowski, and when Brandon Igdowski got the opportunity with NASCAR, Nick and I didn't expect it, truthfully, for another 5-10 years. We figured Brandon be around at least that long. We continue to work together as a team, and the opportunity arose, and I couldn't be more honored that the family has the trust and faith in me, and I hope to be around for a long time.
Well, you've been a great ambassador for the entire time that you've worked there. Of course, everyone's excited for the Overton's 400 coming up tomorrow, and NASCAR is facing some either challenges or some things that they're looking to do, kind of being more things to more people, kind of reaching out to maybe the youth a little bit, and certainly on the ticket side of it. So describe some of the things that you guys are doing, and as president, that you guys are looking to do to kind of enhance that race weekend. I know there's tailgating for sure. I think I read in there you guys have a dog park. That's something unique. I'm not sure that I've seen that at a lot of places. But what else is going on?
Yeah, our biggest advantage here is our flexibility and the fact that we are a family-owned business. And really, it's Nick and I, and we have a small board, some of them family members. And if the staff has an amazing idea, like the bark park there in our infield for our campers, it's easy to flip the switch on. We say, that's great, do it, perfect. We've just celebrated today, actually, our 10th annual Kids Day. So kids 12 and under have been free on our Fridays and Saturdays for, 25 years.
Wow.
Our goal here is to provide just a quality value and a great experience. People work hard. We respect where they spend their money. If they want to go to an Eagles game, if they want to go to a Flyers, a Sixers game, if they want to go to Hershey Park or Dorney Park, we as long as they're supporting entertainment in Pennsylvania, we support it as well. But we'd really hope you give Pocono Raceway a shot and come out here and enjoy it. Kids are half price, $22.50. We have a family four pack that's $99. It's four tickets, four dogs, and four Coca Colas. So we're all about the value, and I think that's the nice part about being a family-owned facility versus one that, has shareholders and stockholders.
Well, Ben, you mentioned that, the four dogs. And at first I was thinking, well, those are you're getting four actual dogs in, because, of course, you have a love, with the dog part of the family out there. But you mean probably hot dogs.
Maybe a good idea. We'll take it to the team.
Let the listeners know we're talking with the president over there at Pocono Raceway, Ben May, out there in Long Pond, Pennsylvania, definitely within kind of road trip range. One of the things that you're doing, I know I read through some of the items, and it is one of the things that race fans know, love, and enjoy, is that the drivers are accessible, probably more so than almost any other sport. Dale Jr., a signing and a Q&A, that's probably always going to be a hit, especially maybe even more so now because, this is his kind of retirement season. But I'm sure you guys had to ramp up because, Casey Kane is going to be there. I'm sure a lot more interest in that this week maybe than last week after the Brickyard.
Oh, yeah, we had Casey Kane and Keselowski in the media center today. Keselowski's got a new contract. Kane coming off arguably the biggest win of his career. Yep. And Dale's been great. Dale's a big fan of Pocono, and, we've worked with him and really enjoyed that relationship. So we're excited for his future. We're excited to see if he can put it in victory lane tomorrow. And we'd love to send him off with nothing more than our American flag bald eagle trophy.
People are going to be watching it on NBC, watching all the action over there for the 400. But you guys are one of those that also have the IndyCar races. 1968 is when the track opened, 71 and 74 Indy, and then, of course, the NASCAR action. But coming up, I think it's August 20, right? You have like an IRL weekend.
Yeah, we do. So we'll kick off the Overton's 400 tomorrow morning. After that, our NASCAR season will come to a close here at Pocono, and we'll get dialed in for the ABC Supply 500 IndyCar race. This track was built, with IndyCars in mind, and when they come out here, it's amazing. They're screaming down the straightaway, 230 miles an hour. It almost looks, and our CEO says it best, it almost looks like a fighter jet going through turn one. They're just, they're pedal down and hugging that bottom line, hugging that white line, and just it's amazing how fast they are. So the speed is amazing. The access, to your point about NASCAR drivers, these IndyCar drivers are just as good.
Right.
You can get up close to the cars. They're personable. They love it. They, it's a great thing. So if people haven't been to IndyCar race, I highly suggest checking one out. I believe Mid-Ohio, maybe close to you, maybe a few others, but Detroit Grand Prix, I guess, something in that range.
We've got Road America that's maybe a couple hours north. And, of course, Indianapolis Motor Speedway is maybe 2.5 hours.
Okay,
the luxury that they have, and obviously you've got a lot of the business side of the track. It's an entertainment facility. People know it, enjoy it, and love spending time there. But you've got, a lot of that business stuff that you're working on and on the marketing side and, tickets and all that kind of thing. But having grown up there, can you share with the listeners, a couple of your moments? You were there, starting. It was, your job and all that kind of stuff, and you were working there. But I'm sure it was because you're passionate about motorsports and things going on.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first started hanging around motorsports, and ironically, I'm an Eastern North Carolina kid, so I grew up not knowing a ton about racing, which sounds weird being from North Carolina, but I was over by the ocean, and we were in Michael Jordan country back there, if you will. So grew up a huge Carolina fan and Michael Jordan guy, and just kind of started to get into racing once I had met Nick and once I had started college, and kind of fell in love with the business side of it and the fact that we're putting on a show, and we were, and a friend of mine that works at the local hospital said this to me a few years ago. He said, "You're adding to people's quality of life." And I said, "Well, that's kind of you to say that." And the more you think about it, we want, the world's tough out there. We want people to have a good time. We want to provide a good experience at a great value. And if that adds to your quality of life, then I think it's amazing.
Well, you mentioned Michael Jordan, one of our sports icons here. Interesting to note, and Kevin Heaney, who's one of your guys on staff there at Pocono, had mentioned that kind of along in that team photo of revered sports icons still, and what we all hope will be in the beginning of his coaching career here, managing career here for the Chicago Cubs, is like Joe Madden. Like, you are basically, he's a local for you guys. That's so you see him walking around on a regular basis?
Yeah, down in Hazleton area. It's kind of funny. You have these connections to major figures in the world of sports, and tiny little Pocono Raceway here in tiny little Long Pond, Pennsylvania. So it's kind of neat. Absolutely.
Well, if you ever get up here and you want to check out a Cubs game, definitely do that. I know you got your hand on the pulse of so much of the racing, and Ben May, let the listeners know, he is the president at Pocono Raceway. Ben, before we let you go, give the website information out so people can keep up with everything and make their plans to come see you.
Yeah, absolutely. PoconoRaceway.com. We'll have two NASCAR, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series races next year. But for those of you that can't make it, make sure you get down to Chicagoland and support Scott Paddock and that amazing staff down there. Hey, as long as you're supporting motorsports and whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar, you know, we're grateful and we thank you.
Ben, we love what you do. Thanks for taking time out and have a great, entertaining, and super safe race tomorrow.
Much appreciated. Take care.
All right, we are going to take a break. We have one more opportunity here on the break side. Go ahead and you can text in, you can call in, 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Or you can email ontheroadwithdane@gmail.com. You can send in your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car. We're going to take everybody who participates in that way, put them all into the bucket and pull a winner for our bona fide ride of the show presented by Bona Beef, and some great suggestions, selections so far. Joey's going to print them out as well. So quick break. We'll be back right after this with NHRA driver Robert Height. He is setting records in the fastest sport in the world, NHRA. So it's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, I'm Robert Height, driver of the Automobile Club of Southern California, Chevrolet Camaro funny car. You're on the road with Dane, WGN.
On the road with Dane, live here with us is Robert Height. He's the driver for the AAA Car Club funny car for John Force Racing. Robert, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to WGN.
Good to be back. Always love coming to Chicago. One of our favorite stops on the tour. You know, 20 years, hard to believe this place has been around 20 years and it still looks brand new. They've done a great job with it, and it's one of the top facilities in the country.
I love your perspective, and you look at some of these, you know, names that are out there, John Force legends that have been around for a long time, and you wonder how they got into racing at its highest level and achieved so much success. And you wonder, one of the things that I get asked all the time is by, you know, younger car enthusiasts, motorsports lovers, kids who want to get into it. You mentioned during the press conference that you were here 20 years ago working as a crew member for John Force. And so for a kid who would want to get into racing and somehow make it to NHRA in all the different circuits, it's not easy, right? It's not you can just go out for it in high school like a sport. What would you recommend?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was fortunate enough as a kid to, you know, be interested in cars and learn from my dad how to work on cars, build engines. And then, you know, you take some technical classes. And, you know, there's a lot of technical schools that can teach you the trades and the things you need to know to work on one of these cars. And like I said before, I was also a truck driver. I found out that, you know, you got to get those haulers to the races somehow. So most of these teams will hire crew guys that are truck drivers. So went and got my CDL. And, you know, I remember rolling in here 20 years ago with the truck. And I also did the clutch, built engines. But looking at this super stadium, I'm thinking, man. And it's still one of a kind, you know, the way the grandstands wrap around the starting line. It gives you a great perspective of what our cars do. You know, we've been running fast this year, 338 miles an hour, because we get two night runs. That's what makes the Chicago event unique. You get two night runs. So Friday night, if you mess up, you get another shot Saturday night. And the night runs are where you have the good conditions, the track's the best, and you can really get after it and run quick and fast.
Well, Route 66 is one of those. It's like you're in Gladiators, right? You come out to this stadium, this Coliseum for racing. But kind of what you're saying as far as getting into the sport and so fortunate to be racing at its highest level right now is that be resourceful. If you love cars, get involved in any way that you can. You're talking about like driving a truck, you're talking about, you know, helping to do some of the engine builds and working as a crew member, and then ultimately you get a chance to drive.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of jobs, you know, out here in NHRA. We have jobs on our team as, you know, chefs. We have to have chefs on the road, okay, for all of our teams. We have machine shops.
You have chefs that are like, hey, can I take a pass this time?
No. They do a good job of cooking for our teams and the hospitality. But, you know, we also have shops back in Indianapolis that we build all of our own parts, you know, CNC machines. We have a shop that, you know, welders and fabricators to build our chassis, mount our bodies. There's lots and lots of opportunities in drag racing. And some of those jobs, you know, you don't even have to travel the 24-race circuit. You can, like I say, work in the shop, build things, design things, engineer things.
I guess the moral of the story is if you want to have a career in racing, in and around it, just get in there and do stuff. There's a lot of things. You may not find yourself going 337, 338 miles an hour, but you can work within the sport if you put your mind to it.
Exactly, because that's all I ever thought I'd get to do. You know, once I saw these cars run the first time, I was hooked. It was like, I've got to be involved in this sport. And I was a gearhead, so I loved working on the engines, and I honestly thought my path would lead down the road as being a crew chief someday, but John gave me the opportunity to see if I could drive one of these beasts, and here I am. You know, this is my 13th year driving.
Robert Height, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And so, and thanks to Robert for being here, and he's doing some really amazing stuff out on the track. You have a, I don't know if it's an amazing opportunity, but it certainly is very good and delicious to be the bona fide ride of the show presented by Bona Beef, a beef party 410 and 312-981-7200. You can call in, you can leave it with Joey on the line. You can text in as well. We've got some great ones. The Corvair is coming in. We've got a Saturn Coupe that came in from Paul. So thank you so much for that, Joey. You had somebody call in with, what was it, a 442?
Yeah, 1970 442 convertible.
Oh, see, and these are all going to be entered in. Is when we come back from this break, we're going to announce our winner for the bona fide ride of the show as well. And for the people that wanted to know how to spell Wilstem Ranch, it's Wilstem Ranch. And that's an opportunity to get out there, see some giraffes and some elephants up close and personal. Quick break. We'll be back to wrap it all up. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hey, everybody. Danny the Count Coker here from Counting Cars and Count 77. You are on the road with Dane. Come on, people, turn it up.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace?
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio. Beautiful day here on Michigan Avenue. Joey Gelman in the booth. We've got Bob Kessler up with his hand on the pulse of all things news related and weather and sports. I think he was doing some sports as well. Some sports coming up. One of those road trips that I know that early on in the season we had talked with our buddy Dino, who's the physical embodiment of Harry Carey, right, on Earth. He's able to channel him in so many different ways. Not only, you know, just some of the funny catchphrases, but also just, you know, whatever his conversations would be, Dino would necessarily know that. And we talked about going up to Miller Park as a great road trip. So, Joey, I know I'd asked you, I think during one of the breaks we took, as the listeners will know, and we've shared with some of our things today, some of our travels, so, sort of the family road trip thing and some of the things that you'll, you know, stop and do along the way. I know that your family loves sports just as we do, you know, but, and you are famous and renowned tailgaters, correct?
That we are.
But have you ever done any of those, like, family truckster, Clark Griswold, get in the car and head out?
I wish I could say we've done more than we have, but that's not the case. But we have done that Brewers trip out to Milwaukee, which is an easy drive, a fun little road trip.
You feel like you're getting right away, and you're in a different state, you know, with different allegiances, and you know, above the cheddar curtain, you know, you've got to watch your back because the Brewer fans are notoriously vindictive when it comes to losing or whatever. So that is something that you would recommend. I've done that as well. I think that's a fun kind of way to dip your big toe into the sports road trip.
I absolutely agree. It's a nice, easy drive from Chicago, and you're able to, rain or shine, get to a game because they're an indoor stadium, so you don't have to worry about that. So you can kind of create, you know, a little road trip around that because you can kind of sneak around the weather factor.
And you have to sneak, right? Because if they detect your presence,
right,
you could be, of course, usually the park is filled with Cubs fans. So now, Joey, I know that you're a younger guy and you're not to the point where you have your own family and children yet. But are you thinking that this is, even though you didn't necessarily do a ton as a kid, like, where would you go? Where would you pile the young Gelmans?
The future young Gelmans. I would say I definitely, on one end, go the sports route and kind of do those road trips to a couple different ballparks. I've had some friends.
Which ones would you want? I've always kind of wanted to go to, and not because it's amazing. I've been to Fenway Park, so yes, that's a little too far for a road trip, at least I haven't done it. But Pittsburgh is, I think, one that's accessible.
I was just about to say Pittsburgh. Everyone swears by that ballpark, and I think it'd be really, really fun. While, granted, it's a longer road trip, I think it'd be a blast to do, and you get to see a lot of parts of the country that I haven't honestly seen on your way there, and it's supposed to be a great town and a great ballpark to go visit. So I definitely do that. But I've also gotten a little bit of the national park kick lately.
Okay.
And so,
What do you mean the kick? I mean, are they doing a great job advertising? You're seeing the commercials, a brochure in the mail, and you're contemplating a national park visit? Or have you actually done some of that stuff?
Done both. So definitely contemplating more visits. Obviously want to go to Yellowstone and others. But last, I'd say around Thanksgiving, we did the Red Rocks in Vegas, Red Rocks out there, which is kind of lower tier. And then the next...
Oh, there's a tier. There's like a totem pole of importance.
I think so. Well, it was a matter of going blind on a trail and there was nowhere to go. But then we did the very more...
So it's like the Santa's Village of national parks.
Yes. And then, but the next time around, we did the drive to Utah and went to Zion National Park.
That one's so hot right now.
Spectacular. Okay. Absolutely spectacular.
So what do you see there? Is it just rock formations, I think, right? Is that what it is? Or is it kind of, you know, lush waterfalls, forest,
it's both,
grizzly
actually.
Bears?
So it's a nice change of pace because we drove from Vegas to Utah. So, you know, Vegas, obviously very mountainous, but all desert. And you go 2-3 hours to Utah, and it suddenly becomes green again. Yes, there's rock and mountain, but it's waterfalls. It's little springs in and around there. And it was a really nice change of pace trip, and the park couldn't be any more beautiful. It's extremely organized, so you know where you're going. And it's just always funny because you look up and you're doing your normal trail, but then you see like the actual rock climbers like scaling down these huge mountains, and it was just a really incredible stop.
That's a great testimonial. We're going to talk next week. We'll have some national park stuff on. We'll talk with Harry a little bit about national parks as well. So thanks to everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Follow me on Twitter at Dane Tonimo. And Joey, do you have our winner for our bona fide ride of the show?
We do. It'll be Mike from the 708 with his 442 convertible. So congratulations to Mike. We'll get in touch with you shortly.
Get 9 friends and go have some beef and bone of beef.